Okay, we're going to begin here at the top of Nun Hey Amud Aleph. Just to bring us back into the context of the Gemara, we had a statement yesterday's daf right at the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Bet by Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef that say that we look at things l'kamot shehein haita misharinan. We look at things in their original state. We look back at things from when they started, not in the present. So the Gemara says, okay, is that really true? And we seem to have found that there is a machlokas in this issue of whether we look at the current state of an item or we look at the original state of the item. Rabbo tried to reconcile between the two opinions and suggested that everybody agrees if the status now is diminished below the minimum shear, everybody agrees that there is no problem. If it expanded to the shear, then that's a din derabonon, that there is a problem, maybe according to one day a din doraita. Their machlokas revolves around a case where they started with a shear, it diminished, and then returned to a shear. And the question is about whether there's dichoy b'yisurim or not dichoy b'yisurim. Gemara rejects that because it brings down a Mishnah that says that everybody holds that there is no dichoy b'yisurim. So then the Gemara went back and tried to bring another proof that we go after the original status of the item based on the question that we brought from Masro to Trumot. Again, the Gemara came around, gave a solution that we're talking about Trumat Maaser in this case, and therefore everything is being done by Ein Yofen has nothing to do with our situation of do we go after the original state or the current state. So that's where we're up to now, and the Gemara begins in the second line, and then, hey, Amud Aleph, Umina Amar Rabbi Elazar by Rabbi Yossi, Avaya Yenotel Eser Gugrot Shebimiktsoa Al Tishim Shebekalkula. So that he used to take off, my father, it's the latter half of the Tosefta that we had brought yesterday, and my father used to take off 10 dried figs on the 90 fresh figs that were in the basket. I amart bishlamo, if you say l'kemot shehein, if you say that it's based on their original status, that you could say and have no problem, because we're talking about dried figs now. We're taking them off on fresh figs. So if you go back, everybody was once a fresh fig. Correct. So they weren't picked off the tree as dry figs. So therefore, it would work and it would be fine. But Eliyamart Kimochahain, if you say that it's based on their current status, then Batsirluhu, he has taken off sub 10%. Because if you look at it, not on a minyan basis, not on a numeric basis, but rather on weight, volume, or any other basis of measurement, the dried figs are going to be less than the 10% that you need for the 90 that remain in the basket. So Kiyata Rabdimi, Amar Rav Elazar, Shiny Grugrot, Hoil V'yachol D'Sholkan U'L'Haksiran Kamot Shehein. Grugrot, dried figs have unique status, and that is because dried figs could be rehydrated, and they could be rehydrated and bring them back to the quote-unquote fresh status. Obviously, they're not going to be fresh figs, but I assume volumetrically and weight-wise, you could bring them back to the same size. So because of that, it's not a sub 10% removal when you take off the 10 dried figs on the 90 fresh figs, because those dried figs are, in essence, equal to the fresh figs because you just rehydrate them and they'll be the same. So once again, we don't have a proof to the fact that whether we go off the original status or the current status. I'm assuming so. The Gemara only says is it about Gugurot and Te'anim. I don't know if maybe it has some special quality that it rehydrates easily versus other things that don't rehydrate easily. But it should be true that anything that you dehydrate to make it into a dried fruit, you should be able to rehydrate afterwards. I would assume that is true. All right, Tanu Banan. Tormim Te'anim al Gugurot b'makom shiragilim laso Te'anim Gugurot. One could be mafrish teinim, meaning fresh figs, al grugurot, on dried figs, v'makom shirigilim laso teinim grugurot, in a place that they normally dry figs. V'lo grugurot ala teinim, but you may not remove dried figs al teinim on fresh figs, v'afilu v'makom shirigilim laso teinim grugurot, even in a place where they normally make teinim into grugurot. So our assumption right now is that when you're toreim teinim al grugurot, if it's a place that they normally make the teinim into dried figs, then when you're mafrish the fresh figs and give it to him, he can simulate and create the dried figs that are there, because everybody does that, and that won't be a problem. On the other hand, you can't give dried figs on fresh figs, even in a place where it's normal to make teinim into gugurot, because having fresh figs would be a plus, would be beneficial, so we won't let you give him the dried figs. So Amar, let's understand this. Tormim teinim ala gugurot, one may remove fresh figs on dried figs, bimakom shirigilim laso teinim gugurot, in a place that they normally do make fresh figs into dried figs. B'makom shirigilim in a place where they normally do it, it's permissible. But makom shirigilim in a place where they do not normally make them into dried figs, lo. So heichi dami. What's the situation that we're discussing over here? Ida'ika kohen, if there's a kohen that's present, makom she'en ragil amai lo. Even in a place where they don't normally make them into dried figs, why can't you give him fresh figs? The kohen is present. He can consume them right away. You have no loss, and the fresh figs are better, so why can't you give them to the Kohen? Vatnan, and we have a Mishnah that tells us explicitly, Makom sheyesh Kohen, torei min hayafeh. In a place where there is a Kohen, you give him the best being the fresh figs here. So give him fresh figs. Elab Shita, must be that the situation is the Lekka Kohen, that there is no Kohen present. Since there is no Kohen present, in a place where they're not ragil to make the fresh figs into dry figs, then you can't be mafrish the fresh figs off, because that will be to the detriment, because they won't store well at the time, versus if you take off the dried figs, they will last for a much longer time. On the other hand, in a place to regilim, in a place where they normally do it, you can give them the fresh figs, because since there is no claim there, you can take the fresh figs and they'll make them into dry figs, because that's the process that's normally done in that location. But ema seifa, what are you going to do with the latter half over here? The lo gugurot ala teinim. One may not remove dried figs on teinim. Vafilu malkom shiragil aso teinim gugurot. Even this place where they normally have this process done. V'dilek a kohen, if there's no kohen there, am I lo? Why not? Vatnan. And that same Mishnah in Trumot, makom she'en kohen, when there is no kohen, torei min ha-mitkayem. Take off from the item that will last, not from the best item. Over here, the one that will have better duration is, of course, the dried figs versus the fresh figs. So if I was to look at this in a vacuum and say, if I have a kohen there, I would take off fresh figs, because fresh figs are the better, and we're torei min ha-yafeh, we take from the best, and we'll give it to the kohen, and he's present to use it right away. On the other hand, if I have no kohen in the location, I would opt to give dried figs, because dried figs are the best solution in a place where you have to wait to give it to the kohen, and wait till you find the kohen to give the trumot to. So that would be in a vacuum. That's what the Mishnah in Trumot says. I have bright over here, and I'm trying to understand what the bright is speaking about. Is the bright speaking in a case where there is no kohen, or is the bright speaking about where there's no kohen? We looked at the ratio, and we said, well, the ratio must be that there's no kohen there, because if there was a kohen there, why do you have a problem in giving teinim al gugurot? Why can't you give the fresh figs? So it must be that there is no kohen there. There's no kohen there. That's why only in a place where they know how to make it into dried figs it's permissible, or where they regil to do it is it permissible. In a place where they don't, you can't, because it won't be mitkayem. We come to the seifa, and the seifa suggests over here in that breita that you cannot take off dried figs on fresh figs. Why not? There's no kohen here. That would be the best solution when there's no kohen around, and we're saying don't do it. So it must be that that case is el pshita deika kohen. That means that the second half of that brayta is talking about a case where there is a kohen present. And that's what we say to you, don't take off dried figs, give them the fresh ones. You got to give them the best. So Mar says, Resha, the lekka kohen, the seifa, the ika kohen. It'll turn out now that you have a brayta where the first half of the brayta is talking a case where there is no kohen, and the latter half of the brayta is talking a case where there is a kohen. So Mar says, in Resha, the lekka kohen, seifa, the ika kohen, in hochanami. That's how we're going to explain the brayta. And what does that teach us? Amar abapush mamina. Zachakinanu mikmina matnitan betray tamei, velo mikminim betray tanai. We'd rather set up a brayta as being two circumstances or two hechitimtzes rather than make it into two authors. We prefer to have it to be a single author and explain within that single author that the cases are different, rather than say that these are two authors that we brought together. So that's our preference, and therefore we will say that this is talking about two different circumstances. One case in the ratio where there is no kohen, and the other case where in the seifa there is a kohen present. What would have been the option to make it into two tanaim? That we would have to say that the Reisha is the Rabbanon and the Seifa is Rabbi Yehuda, that argue in the Masechet Trumot whether you're always Torim Min HaYafeh. Do you say when there is no Kohen there that you're always Torim Min HaYafeh no matter what? Or do we say that when there is no Kohen there you take from the Mitkayim, from that which lasts longer? You could have set it up as a Machlokas Tanaim, so we could have made it a Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon. Instead we say no. It's all Shita Drabbanon, but rather two cases, one where there is no kohen and case where there is a kohen. Okay, new Mishnah here. Kol ha-menachot niloshot b'poshrim. Omenachot can be kneaded with warm water. Umishamram shelo yechmitzu, and you must ensure that they do not become chametz. V'mechmitzu, if they do become chametz shiara, the leftovers that are there, over below taseh, you violate the lotaseh, shenemar kol mincha, shetekriv l'Hashem lotaseh chametz. And not only that, v'chayav alishata, v'alarichata, v'alafiyata. You're chayav in all of these avodot that you do with the mincha, if in each of them there is chametz associated with it, and the Gemara will ask us where that all comes from, in a hainei milet. Just to focus on this Mishnah for a second, over here we're asking people to knead the dough of the menachot with warm water. The Gemara in Pesachim says one may not bake matzos with warm water because it's memaher lemachmitz. It causes the acceleration of the leavening of the item, and therefore makes it harder to be shomer, and you can't do that with regards to chametz. The Gemara over there says, wait, we have the Mishnah in Menachot that says you can't do it. Where it says, well, there's a big difference. Matzah is made by everybody. The Menachot are done by the Zrizim. They're done by Kohanim who are Zrizim Haim. Therefore, we are somech on the Kohanim Zrizim to ensure that it doesn't reach the point of chametz. So yes, it's an accelerated leavening process, but Zrizim, we don't worry about it. So that'll be a differentiation between matzah and Menachot. The Gemara says, what do you mean? We know that a lot of the processes of the Menachot are kosher bizarre. If they're kosher bizarre, then that it's not always done by Zrizim. The Gemara, their answer is, Nehi the Enam Zrizim. It's not done by those that are Zrizim, but Mokom Zrizim Ito. It's still done inside the Mikdash. And that is based on the statement of the Gemara that Balol Azar Kasher, or Ksheira, that a Zar does the Blila, that it's Ksheira, Chutz L'Chomat Azara Psula, but outside the Azara is Psula. That means all this must be done inside the Azara. All these processes are done in the Azara, so even though they're not necessarily Zvizim, it's done in a place where people are normally Zvizim, so that's why we allow it. Tosus over here points out this can only be according to the Deya that believes that the Isaron was Nitkadesh, because that would force you to be inside the Azara. Versus the Manda Amro says that the Isaron is not Nitkadesh, and you could do it even outside. Now the Gemara there asks, what about the Mincha Ta'omer? The Mincha Ta'omer is done on completely outside the Mikdash. There the Gemara says that Maisa Tzibur Shaini. When it comes to the Tzibur, we don't worry about Machmitz, because there's Tzibur as a whole, or as Rizim. It's done by the whole Tzibur, like the Mincha Ta'omer, which is a carbon of Tzibur. Tosus also asks about Lechem Apanim here, about the same thing, and he suggests maybe the same answer, that it's the Tzibur. So that would be the difference between Matzah and Menachot. Matzah, no warm water. Menachot, yes, warm water.
Warm water, Dafka?
Dafka.
So why Dafka?
So dafka warm water, because Tosfos says the pot comes out nicer. It's a hidur in the pot. Pot, when you use warm water, is a better bread. So by matzah, we're really worried about the chametz aspect. We say no. Over here, we're worried about chametz, but we have an offsetting factor, which is the zrizut. We say make it better, make the bread better. So that's why it is. It's a hidur in bread to do with the warm water, and therefore we opt to do it with warm water because of that aspect of hidur. Well, chalut, according to the Gemara Pesachim, doesn't allow for leavening. If you do it in boiling water, you boil the dough, it will not rise, and cold water will, but at a slower pace. The quality will be diminished in that case. So now, the other thing, the aspect which we discussed 2 days ago, which again, I said that the Makorot has to do with Shmira. But there is a din of Shmira by Menachot. It's clear here from the Mishnah, that there is a requirement of Shmira. How does that Shmira relate to the Shmira by Matzah? But that we did 2 days ago, which is where do we know Shmira by Menachot from? So Gemara first said we need it, we learn it out from Pesach. Ilamdena mi Pesach. We learn it out from Matzah. Then the Gemara said, no, we don't need it from Matzah. He gufa, we have it because it says, tiyah techaya, that it's Matzah, tiyah, and therefore techaya from itself, you have to take care of it and ensure that it doesn't come chametz. What type of Shmira it is? That is a machloket between the Sfat Emet and the Chazon Ish. Sfat Emet says that the Shmira that we're talking about here is Shmira that it won't become chametz, not an active Shmira that you have to have it, l'shem mitzvot menachot. That you don't have to have an active chumakshav in that way. Now, the Sfat Emet says that's based on the Gemara that we saw before. The Gemara originally wanted to learn it out from Pesach, from Matzah. But Matzah, you require that Shmira, not only that Shmira mechametz, according to some Rishonim, that's all it is. Other Rishonim believe Shmira also lishma, that you require it, that be l'shem matzot mitzvah. So therefore, if we learned it from Pesach, then maybe you would require not only a shmirah from chametz, but also an active shmirah to be the same mitzvah to menachot. On the other hand, once we go and learn it from itself, what's the difference? That's what the Sfat Emet says. What's the difference once you learn it from itself? That's the nafkamina. Nafkamina is when you learn it out of menachot themselves, that means the only shmirah that you require over here is shmirah mechametz. You don't require to do the same mitzvah menachot. That's what he is. He does leave it as a suffix. What happens if you do it the same mitzvah matzah? Does that then qualify it for the mitzvah of menachot? The Gemara in Psachim says the opposite does not work. If you do the same mitzvah zevach, mitzvah menachot, that does not work for matzah. But on the other hand, he wants to know if you did it the same matzah, does that work for the menachot? The Chazon Ish, on the other hand, says no. Then we require shmirah over here. Shmirah is a full-fledged shmirah, just like you have it by matzah. And that means that for menachot, you not only need shmirah mechamet, you need an active shmirah to do it the same menachot. And the Chazon Ish goes as far as to say, not even over here, but even by things like lechem apanim, which aren't really menachot, what they're called, or the categories under menachot, all those are required to be done the same mitzvah. So the Chazon Ish says, there's a Shevet HaLevi, brings down some halachos, and also says that he doesn't see the proofs of the Chazon Ish as being so strong. But just to review, but that's the halachos here about exactly what shmirah that we are discussing over here. So Gemara says, where do we know this from? Lo te'afei chametz chalkam. So that is found in Perek Vav by Zot Ratachatatz, that you're not allowed to make their chelek into chametz. We saw this earlier in the week when we were talking about the Minchat Chavitim. By the Minchat Chavitim, we quoted this pasuk because that was what we were trying to say was the ikuv. Originally, was from this pasuk in Perek Vav. Pasuk Yud, Lo te'afei chametz chalkam natati. So therefore, lo te'afei chametz means you can't make it into chametz. That's what we're using for. Ami by Lady Katanya. We did that for the Braita. Lo te'afei chametz matam olomar, lo kver mar. It already says in Vayikra Bet, even it talks about the menachot originally by the Minchat Ma'afei Tanur, it says lo te'afei chametz, where it says don't make it chametz. The fish never lo te'afei chametz, yochel lo yehi chayav ela achat al kulam. I would think you only be chayav once on all ma'asim that are done with chametz. Tamadom lo te'afei. Afia bichlal haita. Afia was part of lo te'afei. It's one of the ma'asim that you do by the mincha. So lama yatsat, why does it come out? Why is it move? Why is it singled out? Akishala, teach you something. Ma afiya miuchedet shi maase yechidi. Just like afiya is a single action. V'chayvin alei b'fnei atzman, you're chayav on it if you do that action. Afani yavi lishata v'arichata v'chol maase yechidi sheba. I'd include all these items. Every action that you take with the chametz, you're going to be chayav a separate lav or violate a separate lav if you do them. So they're two yay, and that comes to include kituf, that comes to the basting, and that will also be included in this restriction. Tosus essence. What's the question here of whether you include, you don't include? It has to do with the atra'ah, what you warn him about. If you warn him, don't need this with chametz. Don't do the aricha, don't spread it out with chametz, then you'll be chayav. You don't warn him, you're not chayav. The Tosus says if it's a havamina here, that you'd only be chayav once. Because once it's chametz, then already it's pasul. Once it's pasul, then maybe when you do the next action, you're doing an action on something that already is not a mincha. So that what comes to Mimrabe over here is that every action, even though it's already a mincha pasula, because it's already chametz, nevertheless, in each action you will be chayav in these cases. So the Gemara says, Ana michelkam gamrinan. Now we don't learn it out from lo te'afei chametz, which teaches us about this yichud, about each maser yichidi or chayavan, but rather we learn it out from the latter part of the puzzle, which is lo te'afei chametz chelkam natati oto. That word chelkam comes and teaches us that their chelik may not be chametz. Why don't we say that's the whole reason for the pasuk? Enkim lichtov chelkam lo te'afei chametz. You should have written it chelkam first. Chelkam lo te'afei chametz. My lo te'afei chametz then chelkam. Shvamina tarti. From there, I can learn out two things. I'll learn out one that any maser yichidi will be chayaman, and number two is that you may not make the shiarayim into chametz. Ve'ema friab deprat barachmano lechayev chado inoch lechayev chado kuhu. Let us say like this. Afiyah is singled out, and you'll be chayav on afiyah by itself if you do it. On the other hand, all the other masim will be subsumed under the law of lo ta'aseh chametz, and they'll get one malkot for all the other actions. So say afiyah is unique, and the other actions are all subsumed under lo ta'aseh chametz, and therefore you only have two lavim. You have one law for afiyah, and law for everything else together. It says mishum dehava davar shiyah bichlau yatzam min haklau. This is a petition where we have something that's in a klau, leaves the general principle, lo lamed to teach us. Lo lamed al atzmo yatzah, doesn't come to teach about itself alone. alone. It comes to teach on the entire klal. So here we're mafia, one of the shloshes re midot of Rabbi Yishmael, to teach us that once something leaves the general principle and teaches us something new, it does not just reflect on itself, it reflects on the entire principle together. And that we have by matzah as well. Matzah, it says that you must eat it for 7 days, and we have in the Varim that you must eat it for 6 days. Where it says, what does that teach you? It teaches you that the 1 day is a reshut. Like Rashi says, well, once 1 day is reshut and it's yotzam in a klal, it's lamed al klal kuyotza, to teach you that all matzah or eating of matzah is reshut on Pesach, except for the first light. But that becomes from a separate pasuk, which is that the chiyuv to eat matzot v'layla hazeh, to eat matzot on that night. But from the ikar mitzvah of eating matzah, we have the same principle that's invoked here, that once something leaves the general principle and teaches us something new, it applies. We apply it to the whole principle, not just to this unique item. Where it says, Ema, let us say it this way. Lotase klal. Lotase is a klal. Lotase is a prat. Klal uprat. In beklal amashab prat. And we say that when we have a klal prat, another one of Rabbi Shmuel's principles, that when you have a general statement and then a specific statement, the specific statement comes to limit the general statement. So we'd say, Afiyah in, midah achrin alo. And we'd say, Afiyah yes, midah achrin alo.
Yes, what?
That'd be a fee alone. Nothing else you'd be chayav alav for. Mar says, Amar Rabbi Aftoriki. Mishum d'havi klalu pratam ruchakim zemizeh. Let's be honest. The lot hafeh chametz is found in Vayikra Bet, in Pasuk Vayikra. The lot hafeh chametz is found in Tav. How can you call that a klalu prat? They're nowhere near each other. Kol klalu pratam ruchim zemizeh in donotan b'klalu prat. And every klalu prat that are not next to each other, they're not juxtaposed, they're not close enough where you would consider them to be a single statement. Therefore, we say, no, they have nothing to do with each other in the sense of klal uprat. They can teach us about the same inyan, and therefore we'll invoke the other principle of Rabbi Shmuel, which is, kol devar sheyah b'klal yatza min haklal ulamed, lo lamed atzmo yatza klal kulo yatza. So Agmar says, is that really true, that we're not done a klal upratam ruchakim ze mizeh, meitiv rav adar b'ava, v'amri la kadik. Adar b'ava asked the question, some say that it was just asked stam, uklal upratam ruchakim ze mizeh, ain't there no time b'klal uprat, v'atanya. We have a braita. Vishachat uto bimkom asher yishchat et ha'ola lifnei Hashem chatat hu. This is by the seir of the nasi. So now we know from that heichan ola nishchata b'tzafon. We know that the ola is brought in the north. Avze b'tzafon. So now we know that the seir nasi is also brought in the tzafon. V'chi anu mikan lemeidim. Is that where we learn out the fact that a chatat has to be brought on the northern side? V'alo k'var ne'amar. Doesn't it already say? And this is in the parsha of Zotarat chatat in Parshat Tzav. It says, Bimkom asher tishachet ola tishachet achatat ha dama ze yatza. So what does this come to teach us? The kovol to teach us that that's where it has to be. Shem lo shachat oto b'tzafon paslo. And it comes to teach us that's lakev. We have two places now. It says that you must do it on the tzafon. Echat the mitzvah. What the second one teaches us? It's meikov. Atam rei le kach yatzat. You say that's the reason that it went out. Oh, enu elo shezet taun tzafon vein acher taun tzafon. Maybe it's coming to teach us the fact that only the seir nasi requires tzafon and nothing else required tzafon.
No other chatat.
No other chatat required tzafon. That's the way Rashi learns it. What you just said, it's the way Rashi learns it over here, that all other chataot would be excluded, and seir alone would be chayav b'tzafon, and that's what the in Parshat Tzav when it says so tarat chatat, it's talking about the nasi's chatat that has to be in the tzafon, but nothing else has to be in tzafon. Tosfos over here says no. He explains it based on what he thinks Rashi says in Zvachim, and that is that we would exclude all other seirim of chataot, not all chataot in general, but all other seirim that are by chataot, which include the seir regalim, the seir apnimi, all the other seirim that are chataot would be excluded, but not all chataot in general. Tamad Omar, we have a pasuk by the seira of the yachid, the chatat yachid, v'shachatat chatat bim kom ha'ola. That's one possibility, or the other pasuk you could have quoted, which is the pasuk by the kivsa, which is v'shachatot ol chatat bim kom asher yishchatat ha'ola. Either one would have been sufficient. They're considered one because it's talking about the chatat yachid. So zeh bnei av l'chol chataot sh'tu'unot tzafon. This is a bnei av that all chataot require tzafon. We don't exclude anything. So Gemara says, Taima dichtav rachman v'shachat et chatat. Only because we have this additional pasuk that's found by the chatat yachid do we say that everything gets tzafon. Havlav hachi, had it not been for that, havamina. Shizeh ta'un tzafon, ayachar ta'un tzafon. We would have thought about it that it was limited to this seir nasi. My taima, la mishum dava klal uprat. Isn't it because it's a klal uprat? Even though they're a distance from each other, because of the pasuk in Tzav that is a klal, which says that all chataot get tzafon, and then we have a prat by the seir nasi that says only seir nasi gets a chatat in the tzafon, And therefore we would say that klal prat ein ba klal ela mashe par prat, and it would be limited to that. Now, just from what I said, you should have realized already that there's a problem with this, because the klal is written in Parshat Tzav, Zotrat HaChatat. That's in Perek Vav. The prat, the Seir and the Si, is written in Perek Dalet, in Vayikra, which is beforehand. Ravash is right away. Hi, klal pratu. Prat uchlalu. It's the other way around. The prat comes before the klal, because the Seir Nasi is written in Perek Dalet in Vayikra, and the general principle of the Chatat is written in Tzav. Zotrat HaChatat is written in Tzav, which is Perek Vav. That would really be a prat uchlal. And what's a prat uchlal? Nasi klal mosif ala prat. That means that the klal comes to include more than the prat. It comes to include everything. So you would have learned just the opposite way around. Itrabi gluhu kol mila. You would have included everything. So then, what is the problem? Ela ta'ana utoka kashle. This is what the Tana had a problem with. Vachimar, what's the other tzad to say that it's only about the Seir Nasi? Because over there it uses the word oto, which is a mute. Shachat oto. That oto is a mute. Maybe that comes to mean ma'ayet other things. Mar says, okay, now in the conclusion, now that we learned it out from the Chatat Yechid and tells us that everything that's a bnei'ah, bana'av, that everything gets tzafon by chato'ot, then oto l'mutei mai, then what do we do with this mute of oto in the end? That we come to say oto b'tzafon, ve'im seir nachshon b'tzafon. Seir nachshon is just a representative because he was the first one, but the seir nachshon doesn't go tzafon, tzakadat kamina, you would have thought whole beats Rabbi Linyan smicha. Since we say the chatat of the nachshon gets smicha, I would have thought it also requires tzafon, it's Rabbi Nam Linyan tzafon, it also needs to be done in the north, k'mash malon, that it does not require north. Why not? Rashi says, because it's not really a chatat that's coming on a chait. It's not coming to give kapara. It's a chatat that's brought by Nachshon, but we've said this many times before. This is a chatat, but not a chatat for kapara. And since it's a chatat, it looks like more like an olah, then it doesn't require tzafon. Even though an olah normally would require tzafon, over here it's a unique type of korban that requires smicha, but does not require tzafon. Okay, we'll stop over here. The Gemara, then tomorrow, we'll discuss this more in detail, but it goes quite a ways in tomorrow's daf, so I'm going to stop over here.